Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in our teaching series of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. Now, because this is a study session, we will not be taking live phone calls today, but you can still get your question to us now or anytime at the usual number, that, of course, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Or if you prefer to write your question, you can address Bob at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to get you an answer as quickly as possible on the air on Basic Gospel. But for right now, let's get today's broadcast underway. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's favorite passage is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I just love this particular passage. Actually love the entire book of Ephesians.
Sure.
It's just a powerful letter about the grace of God. And that's where I want to start today. When Paul met with the elders at Ephesus, or the elders of Ephesus, mm-hmm. He didn't meet them at Ephesus, but he called them and they met at a location. And he sat down with them and said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I feel led by the Spirit to do so. They warned him not to. They felt like he was going to suffer, that it was going to be dangerous to him. But he said in response to that, I am going to finish the race that God has put before me and going to finish the task, and that task is to testify to the grace of God, to the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul did all the way up until he took his very last breath. He testified to the grace of God. Now, this book of Ephesians, I think, is a testament to that task. Mm-hmm. I think it is a book all about the grace of God. And I think we see it really condensed in a wonderful and powerful way in this particular passage, verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I've broken this down into three different sections. So the first section is just going to be verses 3 through 6. So let's jump in and see what Paul has to say to us through these several verses. He starts out like this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this gratefulness, there's this praising, there's this blessing of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to find out why. This praise just isn't in a vacuum. It's a praise for something.
Yes.
And he says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So it starts out with a bang.
Yeah.
I mean, just some powerful words here. And the first little phrase that I really want us to latch on to is this phrase, who has. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has. So this isn't something that's going to happen in the future. This isn't something that is yet to come. This is something that has already happened in Christ Jesus. So God has. He is the one who has blessed us. So Paul is giving praise to God the Father for blessing us. Now, here are the blessings: that he blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So we've been given every spiritual blessing that we will ever need, want, desire, long for. They've been given to us already in Christ Jesus. Now, we oftentimes appeal to God for physical blessings. We want to be healthy. We want to prosper, so we ask for financial blessings or material blessings, and that's where we traffic most of the time. Yeah. As far as our minds are concerned, Lord, bless me, heal me, give me emotional security and assurance and all, make me happy. Yeah, I want to be I want to be happy, and I want material things. I want a bigger house. I want a better car. I want this or I want that.
A new back would be good.
That's what you're asking for, a physical blessing. And that's where our minds kind of go when we think of blessings. And that's how many people promote blessings. It's like, oh, look at this big building we were able to build. Isn't this a blessing from God? And look at the prosperity that we're experiencing. Isn't this a blessing from God? And we can say yes on all of those things, but this particular passage is talking about spiritual blessings. And when we understand what these spiritual blessings are and are secure in what we've been given in Christ Jesus, then that settles our souls. It gives us rest. And from that rest, we can explode out into the other areas of life. So oftentimes we neglect the spiritual blessings that we have. We just gloss over them. They don't mean as much because we can't really see them. But these are the foundation for life. These are the ultimate reality for each and every one of us. So let's see what we have in Christ Jesus, what spiritual blessings that we have. Well, the first is the fact that he chose us in him. So there's a choosing of God to bless us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So what is our standing in God's sight right now? We are holy and blameless. Now, that's not something that we could earn in and of ourselves. It's not it's not the reward of our obedience to a set of laws or to carry out the religious rituals and those sort of things. This is just something that God has bestowed upon us in Christ. This was his choosing to do so, that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. Not only did he do that, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So we are adopted into the family of God as sons of God. Now, we have an identity, a child of God, but when you're adopted, you're given full rights of sonship. So you're part of the family business.
Yeah.
So everything that is Jesus is now yours. And all this was in accordance with his pleasure and will. This was God's good pleasure, God's choice to do so. And it was totally apart from us. He just wanted to do it, and he did it in Christ Jesus. So that's to the praise of his glorious grace. So everything, every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus is a work of grace in our lives. And it's a work of grace that he has freely given us in Jesus Christ, the very one he loves.
Yes, indeed. It is session 6 of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. Just one more reminder of what we have and who we have become in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, knowing that truth and being reminded of God's love and grace can help us start each day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you are indeed a beloved child of God. And we think one of the very best ways for that to happen is by opening your email box first thing every morning and finding the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Start each day with the sure knowledge that you are dearly loved by the most awesome God that there could possibly be. The devotional is free, and you can start your subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe. And we hope you'll subscribe today. Again, that's basicgospel.net/subscribe. Well, now back to Bob Christopher and his favorite passage, number 6.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. It's a chapter all about the grace of God and how that benefits us, and specifically how it benefits us. We're not just saying, hey, I'm a recipient of the grace of God. We're given some exact ways that we are beneficiaries of this grace of God. And the first several that we've talked about is the fact that God chose us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight. So God's grace has made us holy and blameless in God's sight. Now, so many people fret over their standing before God.
Yeah.
They look at their sins. They look at their thought life. They look at some of the desires of the flesh. And they certainly don't perceive themselves as holy or blameless in God's sight. But the truth is, because you're in Christ, you are holy and blameless before God. That's good news. You've been adopted as a son, and all this in accordance with his pleasure and will, so to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, this next section, it says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So what do we have next, according to the grace of God, in accordance with the grace of God? Well, this is just one power-packed verse, verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, what is that? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, redemption is a word that means freedom, basically. So God sent Jesus. Jesus entered into sin and death on our behalf to purchase us out from under that sin and death so that we could experience new life in him. So he set us free from those forces of darkness, from those things that held power over us. He broke that power. He released us so that we could experience freedom as children of God. And the thing that allowed that to happen was the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ, if you're in Christ, what do you have? You have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So right now, if you're in Christ, you have, not that you're going to get,
right,
you have forgiveness of sins. So tomorrow, when a worldly temptation hits you, or you give in to the desire of the flesh, or you say something that hurts your mate, or whatever it may be, something that the Bible would label as sin, you may be worried that you don't have forgiveness for that. And you may start to fret over your position before God and what he might do to you as a result of that act. Well, what you're denying at that point is this truth, that at that point you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood once and for all. You received him. Now you are in Christ Jesus. So you don't need more forgiveness. You don't need to ask and plead and beg and all of those things and promise in order to get God to forgive that sin. He's already forgiven it in Christ Jesus. That forgiveness is already yours.
Yes.
So when you received him, you received his life, and in that life, that very life contained the forgiveness of sins.
Done deal.
It's a done deal. So stand firmly on this truth. Don't let anybody knock you off this wonderful place that you are in Christ, a place where you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Not just the dregs of God's grace, but the whole enchilada, so to speak. That's what we say here in Texas.
That's right.
But in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's what God did in Christ. He lavished the grace of God on us. So you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then with all wisdom and understanding, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So God had a will. That will is the new covenant. That will was carried out by Christ Jesus. He died to usher it in. And so we find all of these spiritual blessings in Christ. That was the mystery of God's will, and that we as Gentiles stand shoulder to shoulder with the Jews in Christ, mm-hmm. as one new man. The same blessings that they received, we received in Christ Jesus. So he purposed this in Christ, and he was going to put it into effect when the times reached their fulfillment. And those times reached their fulfillment at the right time. God sent Jesus into this world. And why did he do it? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ is that bridge that connects heaven and earth. We know the Lord's Prayer that we pray in that was recorded for us in Matthew 6, that it will be on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Well, Jesus Christ is the one that makes that possible, that brings that reality about.
Yeah.
And so because we are in Christ, we're living out his life here on earth. This life that we are living out here on earth, it's a life here on earth as it would be in heaven.
In heaven. Wow. We're taking a look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 on Basic Gospel. This is Session 6 and Bob Christopher's favorite passages, the top 10 of those. And we're pausing just for a moment to remind you that we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming this good news of Jesus Christ every day. So please help us if you can today. Keep this message going forward. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help with your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. We hope you'll take advantage of it. Use it. We'd love for you to just use it up. Also, we would like you if you would like to revisit any of the sessions along the way of these Friday sessions that we are going through right now, well, you'll be able to find them at the Basic Gospel archive. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching, and all of our teaching sessions are there. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. But right now, back to Session 6 in this series of Bob's Top 10 Favorite Passages. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's go on to the next section, starting in verse 11 down through verse 14. And it says this, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So here's a passage where we see that these blessings are for both Jew and Gentile. So in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Mm-hmm. So what was his will? Well, that he would call out of Jew and Gentile people who would believe in the Son, and he would put them together as one new man. That was his will. What was his will? That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved and will experience the same spiritual blessings. That was his will. And he has worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of that will through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So the first ones to respond to this good news of Jesus were the Jews. We see that on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and proclaimed the good news of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And they responded and received the gift of God's Spirit. And so they are to the praise of his glory. So the fact that they were saved in Christ is praise to the glory of God. And then he says in verse 13, "And you also." Well, who is he speaking about there? Well, he's speaking about Gentiles. You also were included in Christ. Mm-hmm. If you just look at it on the surface, you may think that everything in the Word of God is just about this little nation of Israel. But then if you start reading about the blessings, what God actually said to Abraham, you see, oh no, it's not just for that little nation of Israel. These blessings are for the whole world. And in Christ, the whole world is blessed, both Jew and Gentile. So we were included in Christ. This is the mystery that was made known to us, that we were included in Christ. And when did this happen? When we heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. So what is the truth? What is the gospel of our salvation? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is God's good news to man. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Jesus Christ did something on our behalf. And so his work brings good news to our hearts so that we can stand before God holy and blameless in his sight and experience everlasting life. That's the good news. So when we heard that, we were included in Christ. And then when we believed, so it's by grace through faith, as Paul says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, when that grace of God hit our hearts, we responded through faith, salvation occurred. We were made alive together with Christ. So when we believed, when that happened, we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So God sent the Spirit to take up residence in our hearts. Now, the Spirit is a seal. We were marked out. You know, Bob, there are many people that fear that at some point in the future, when the beast is on the scene, that they might give in and take the mark of the beast.
Yeah, we hear that all the time.
All the time. Yeah. This verse says that's an impossibility. Yeah. Why? Because you've already been marked out by God as someone who belongs to him.
Yes.
So you are his possession. And what is that mark? What is that seal? The Holy Spirit. And he is your deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So at one point, Jesus Christ is going to return. When he returns, we're going to be with him, and we're going to be with him forever. Talk about good news. That's good news.
That is good news.
And this is guaranteed. You will persevere until this happens. Why? Because God has guaranteed it, not because of your good works, not because that you're a nifty guy, although you're a new creation in Christ, although you are fully alive in Christ and Christ is fully alive in you. That makes you pretty special, but it's his work and his mark, the Holy Spirit himself, that guarantees that you're going to be with the Lord forever. So you have every spiritual blessing that you ever need. You weren't holy at one time, and now you're holy in God's sight. You weren't blameless, but now you're blameless. You weren't a son, now you're a son of God. You have sonship. You're an heir to the throne. You once were under the condemnation of the law and sin and of sin and death, but now you have redemption. You've been set free, and you have forgiveness of sins. You were guilty before God, but now you've been washed clean, forgiven forever. Yeah. You have that. You've been predestined, chosen according to the will of God, so that you could be to the praise of his glory. You've been marked out by a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is your deposit, guaranteeing that when the Lord returns, you're going to be with him forever. These are the spiritual blessings. You get a hold of these spiritual blessings, and I guarantee you every other aspect of life will fall into place.
Bob, that's just good news.
The
Wonderful
best.
News. Thank you for the sharing best. That. Well, this has been Session 6 of our Friday Study Series, Bob Christopher's Top 10. We'll do number 7 next week. Hope you'll be here for that. In the meantime, remember, we need your help. Visit basicgospel.net. Click donate. We'd love for you to partner with us. Till Monday, for Bob and the team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.